Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Happy New Year! It's Becky Brown, and I'm joined by Dr. Alice Benton and Dr. Jill Hubbard. Can you believe it? It's 2023.
I know.
And it's a special year for New Life. We are celebrating 35 years of helping people find transformation through God's truth and through godly counsel. And I'm so grateful to be part of that party. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just as amazing to hear all of the testimonies. But you know what is always amazing to me is the before and after. You know, at some point, people decide this life isn't the life that God had planned for me, and I need to do something different. So they joined us at a workshop, or they, you know, called a counselor. But, you know, this is the day that everybody's resolutions are going to get tested, right? It's like, you know, okay, it's January 2nd. Can I, you know, do the thing that I thought I could do? What advice would you guys give to someone who's trying to make 2023 a better year for them?
Oddly enough, I think we have to have the courage to accept that failure and mistake are going to be part of the greater success story. Because I think it's really frightening to set goals and tell other people about them. Because what if I don't achieve them? But accepting that we're going to make progress by failing better as we move forward. Mm-hmm. And that's really the way long-term change occurs.
I love that.
Yeah. In 2022, last year at this time, I was with a couple of good friends, and we set up doing intentions for the year. And so intentions felt better than concrete goals, per se. So we shared our intentions, we talked it through, and then we met quarterly to go over our intentions, to see how we were doing, to revise them as different things occurred, and to talk through what was difficult about keeping them or not difficult, right? Mm-hmm. And so it was increasing our awareness of what we were wanting and how we were wanting our lives to be different, and then some accountability on working at it. So it actually worked pretty well. Did we accomplish everything? No, heck no. Some of mine are rolling over into this year. But I felt like I was in a growth process regarding it versus, oh, there's that goal I set and it didn't happen.
Well, and to your point, Jill, that you had that accountability, you could reflect with one another. And Alice, you were talking about the failures that are inevitable in, as part of the growth process. You know, the idea of intention is so powerful, especially in the life of a believer. You know, I think about the things that Christ is calling us to as we're setting intentions, setting resolutions. You know, am I becoming more and more like Christ in my life? And, you know, there are some of us who we can point out, like, whether it's an addiction or a bad habit or a broken relationship or a resentment that we are holding on to, unforgiveness. And we can honestly look at that and say, that is not Christ-like. That's not what he's calling me to be. But what would you say to somebody who maybe is new in the journey with their faith in Christ? What does that growth in Christ look like as we're looking at a new year?
I think certainly getting into the Word, which is actually something I didn't do until my late 20s. The attempts that I had made, I got stuck in the begats and the temple measurements, and I just couldn't get past that. But getting a New Life Bible with commentary that brought the Word into relevance for me of how does this even apply to my life and what do I do with it, that was a game changer for me.
Yeah. Jill, how about you?
Well, I think being in with other people, right? It's like getting into a Bible study, getting into a support group, attending church, doing the things that help you grow and learn, and that helps to strengthen. You can't do it by yourself, mm-hmm. right?
Yes, that's so true. And we are here for you, so we'll help you in that process. We got Bibles of all sorts that can help you in that, and connection as well. Mm-hmm. We'll be back after this break answering your calls.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
You know, maybe one of those new things for the new year would be to add one of our podcasts to your listening. You know, we got three different kinds that you can choose from. We have the Going Deeper podcast that features Steve doing different teachings. We have the Life Recovery Today podcast, where we're talking about all things life recovery. We do interviews. And then the third one would be to listen to us, New Life Live, on your podcast. And, you know, we have so many people that do. And you can download the podcast wherever you receive your podcast. We want to be part of your daily listening, and we, you know, we just love that opportunity. So give us a try. Maybe that's your new thing for the new year. We are going to go to the calls, and we are going to talk to Christine, who's calling us from Sacramento, California, listens on the app, and you can too. You can download the free app. Hi, Christine. Happy New Year. We're so glad you called. How can we help you today?
Thank you so much for taking my call. I'm a Club New Life supporter and have been
for
a really long time and have listened for forever and just appreciate your show so much.
Thank you, Christine.
I'm calling because I took on a new job a couple of years ago, and since the time that I took on that job, I feel like a lot of the other parts of my life have kind of gone out of control. I've gained a lot of weight. I feel like I feel like I don't have time for myself or most everything and anything. I don't have time to exercise like I used to. I find it hard to find the time even to get into the word the way that I want to. And so I was looking forward to the Visit for Life. I was thinking try and sign up for that. That might be a good place to start. But I guess where to take control back of my life when I feel like I don't have any time to do it.
Gosh, Christine, we hear your pain.
Yeah.
Let's hear. Okay, Alice, go ahead and start.
Mm-hmm. Christine, will you tell us about the stress of this new job? What is it requiring of you?
It is a highly stressful job. It's a leadership job in a ministry, and I love the work. I absolutely love the work, but it has put a tremendous amount of responsibility on me and has been probably a little bit more than I bargained for. I do see some light at the end of the tunnel, but it's definitely taken a lot out of me.
What kind of conversations have you had with the other folks in the administration of the leadership about what you're going through?
Some pretty significant ones. To say that I need to have more balance, that I can't shoulder everything that has been placed on me. So there definitely is clear communication with them that I have to have more. I have to be able to function better in order to continue in this role.
I'm really impressed with you that you brought it to their attention and they're responsive. So there's a little bit of movement, but not sufficient, it sounds like, to help get you back on track in the other areas. And tell us about your closest relationships, whether you're married or your family of origin. Who's supporting you and how do they do so?
Yeah, I'm married and I've been married for 21 years and have a wonderful husband who's very supportive. And we're very involved in, we've gone through lots of counseling and involved in a lot of different opportunities to talk things through. And he definitely sees the weight that it has literally and and medically on me, and is concerned about that for me. But we also, without saying too much, there's just some ties to it that it would be very difficult to step away. So,
Do the needs of the people you're serving through the ministry eclipse your own, where you feel such a compassion for them that it would feel selfish to pull away at all in any way from serving the people you do?
Yes and no. Yes, because I do want to support the people that I'm, particularly the ones that I'm most closely working with, because I know that they feel very much a lot of stress as well. So I have taken on their burden also. But I feel as though I need to learn how to better shut things off. Like, for example, mm-hmm. I'm on a vacation and I said I'm not going to look at my email for a whole week, which is taking, great strength to actually execute that. Right. I've done it mm-hmm. so far, but it's only been like 2 days.
So where can she start then? Christine, it sounds like you've been thinking about it, but what is the next step for her?
Well, one of the things, and you just alluded to it, Christine, that I was wondering, how much of this is the actual ministry and how much of this is maybe a pattern in your life that maybe has happened in different places? Is this just new in the ministry? And if so, you know, there is something about ministry where we, as Christians, we want to give, we want to jump in wholeheartedly, be there for people, but sometimes ministries lack boundaries, and that's what burns those people out. And it's always the same people doing all of the work. And so if there's a way you can reflect, first of all, like you're starting to do, on your own inability to separate, right, or to let other people mm-hmm. handle things, and having some personal boundaries for yourself, which you're starting to do by speaking up. And then, you know, what can you delegate? Sometimes it's too much for one person. The mm-hmm. needs are too great, even though the desire is there to help. And so can you hand things off? Can they bring in more people to support? Because the last thing you want and the last thing that really helps people is a completely burnt out staff.
And don't you think, both of you, don't you guys think that having an outside perspective, Christine, I don't know if you've talked to anybody about this, but I think that that could also give you an awareness, because when we are feeling the pressure, we don't feel like anything can change. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we wouldn't have already started into it. So it's like, where do you get that new perspective? Have you talked to anybody about this yet, besides the administration?
I have. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have, but I also feel like I want to go back to what Jill said, actually. I think that so much of it is me, which is, and the pressure I put on myself. Mm-hmm. And that's part of what my question is how do I start to separate, and what's the tool, like I said, going back to lose it for light,
mm-hmm. you
great know,
because
idea. That's something that, because I've gained so much weight and I just feel so bad about myself in that
of course.
Phase.
Of course. Mm-hmm. So that's a clue. Like when you're reaching for the food sometimes is like glue that holds us together. So you're feeling a need to be held together, right? So that you can continue on. And we also know that food shuts down feelings. Mm-hmm. Right? So, right? So you have to be aware of when you're reaching for the food, what's going on. Right. So one of the things I often recommend is people pause and they jot down a couple of things of what they're feeling before they eat the food. And then, because that'll delay it a minute, it causes a moment of reflection. And if you still want to eat it, go ahead. And then how are you feeling afterwards? Mm-hmm. So you can increase the awareness that you're doing emotional eating instead of eating because you're hungry. Mm-hmm. And then if you're doing emotional eating, okay, that means your bucket is too full. Right? So that's where we've got to add things in. to help support you and then create time for you to go to therapy, which Lose It for Life is a great place to start. And then after that, continuing on and having a place where you can reflect and examine your feelings, a place that's just for you, where you get to be the focus.
And Christina will probably also entail identifying the story that's running in your head. Mm-hmm. And there's usually a fear involved. What am I afraid will happen if I don't check my email, if I don't take these tasks on for my coworkers? There's probably some disastrous thinking that's taking place. It might be subconsciously, but it's probably in there somewhere. And then there may be a negative terminology you have when you engage in self-care. So it's often selfish. It feels selfish to step away and take care of yourself when these people need your help. In my family of origin, Christine, my parents are very hard workers to the point of probably being workaholics. And there's such family pride in how we present as how hard we work in the world. And so it's a weakness to need to take a nap. It's a weakness to take time away. Mm-hmm. And I had to change the wording that I'm stewarding my time and resources well. When I just had to take a nap the other day, I had to step away from my kids and read a book. There are unending needs in my family or in my work, but I become an irritable, edgy, snippy person when I don't take good enough care of myself. And so the way I love and work is then subpar. And so, Christine, as I lay down for a nap today and I still have to fight that message of this is so selfish, somebody needs you right now, well, I'm going to love them better after this hour nap is over. Mm-hmm. I know that to be true. I'm stewarding my limited time and resources. But it's an ongoing battle to change the wording in my head. But it helps me to love more generously after I take care of myself.
Absolutely. And isn't it ironic, Christine, and I know you already know this, that the person that you were serving, Jesus Christ, was the perfect example of how to take time away. Every time that Jesus was preparing for a significant thing in ministry, he would take literally days away to prepare his heart and his mind for the work that God had called him to do as he was on the earth. And for believers, that's probably the hardest thing, is to practice Sabbath, is to put deadlines, you know, I can't do that right now, or even like what you were just saying, Alice, about even taking care of yourself physically. And I'm thinking too, Christina, I would love for you to join us at Lose It for Life, and I think that will be a great way for you to get connected and to get into a rhythm. But I also, I hear the tears and I hear the feeling of being overwhelmed. You know, self-care is the hardest thing to do, yet the work that you're doing in ministry or in any of the work that we do, if we are not well enough to do it, then it doesn't get done at all. So it's just really kind of an oxymoron when we think about, you know, well, of course I got to take care of myself, but I got to take care of all these people at the same time. It's just, it's a lot. You're not alone in this. Yeah. I want to invite you to join us at the Lose It for Life. And I also think do you guys have a book that you would recommend besides Lose It for Life? I was thinking about sending her the book, but
Take Your Life Back.
Yes.
There you go. That's the one. All right. Christine, thank you so much for calling. And we'll be praying for healing in that process and know that there's a lot of us that are dealing with feeling overwhelmed, but there is an answer. And one step at a time, one day at a time is part of that process. We're going to go back to the calls and we're going to talk to Bea, who's calling us from Washington, D.C., listens on WAVA. Thanks for calling, Bea. How can we help you today?
Hi, how are you guys doing today? Thank you for taking my call. I really appreciate what you all are doing at New Life.
Well, we're glad to be here for you. Mm-hmm.
Thanks. I'm calling about sibling jealousy. I found out at age 12 that my mom is my mom. She's my biological mom, but my stepdad adopted me as a baby, and they never told me about it until I turned 12. My dad, my biological father, has been reaching out to my parents and my family ever since I left. We moved away from another area where he was living. And he had been taking my siblings. They've been sneaking past our house. This is over 38 years ago, by the way.
He had been
sneaking past.
B, I hate to interrupt, but you can hear the music. And I want to hear more about your story. Do you have a question or you want to wait till after the break? We can do that.
Yes, how to handle sibling jealousy.
Okay, all right. We'll get into more details after this. We're so glad you called. Family is challenging on so many levels, but even when you have these particular things that can disrupt what may seem to be typical, there's a way to connect. There's a way to get through it. We'll be right back.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. I said it was a new year. Happy New Year. And we have our Emotional Freedom Workshop coming up in a couple of weeks. And you can take a quiz at newlife.com to see how emotionally free you really are. And if you register by this Friday, you can save about $120. So we are going to encourage you to get your new life started. We're talking with Bea, who has a little bit of a complicated history. But Bea, why don't you continue with the details so that we can best help you move forward.
Okay, so my biological father bought, there are six of us. Each one of us has six different moms. They all have known him since birth. I did not know him. So he saved pictures, baby clothes from the little bit of time that he spent with me and would bring them past my home in D.C., they lived out of town, but every time he came to D.C., they would stop by and just watch me. And so I finally got to meet them at 12 and 13. We all had a great connection. We were just happy to have siblings. But recently, I went to a family dinner, and I come to find out they are not happy with the way my dad treats me. They said that I'm the one who got away, and that I don't know. I think that I'm super special or something. So this was brought to my attention at a dinner, and I was so hurt. I didn't respond, and I don't know. I feel like their problem is not my problem. Their problem is with their dad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And yet you're the target.
It's good clarity. Yeah,
yeah. Mm-hmm. You're so right, B.
And
I'm still close to, like, my stepdad. I mean, my family is still I grew up in a really healthy family dynamic, even when they told me about me being adopted by my stepdad. So we still hang out. I mean, I have a very healthy family relationship with my mom and my stepdad. And I spend a lot of time with them. And I try to help hang out with the others, my biological side of the family, but I haven't really connected with them, and I'm very introverted when I come there. But I do participate. I try to participate as much as I can.
And they seem to be jealous of the stability you had, and perhaps that you weren't close to your dad when maybe they kept experiencing the chaos in your dad's life. Does that seem
What I'm thinking. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And since you heard these things, how, if at all, have you addressed them with your biological siblings?
I had to tell my sister there's still no excuse for her behavior at dinner because she called me back, and I guess she must have felt bad. My 19-year-old daughter spoke up and said, well, my mom's very introverted, and she's like that with the other side of the family. She'll hang out a little bit, but then I go in my little corner and I just kind of, I'm just introverted in that way. Like, I can hang out with people for some periods of time, but then I have to go over in the corner and I just watch and laugh. Like, I have to have some time for me sometimes when I'm out with both sides of the family.
Right. Because I think when people are introverted and when others aren't getting maybe as much feedback as they want or as much engagement, they project onto that. And often it is that someone is snobby or, thinks they're better than or things like that, right? And so if they've already have this, I'm wondering if your dad kind of idealized you because he was the one child, you were the one child he didn't have, right? And so there's that longing for the child that he didn't have, and that set you up in this family. as well as you having the stability and being in a good place. So I think addressing them, you can certainly address that you are sorry for any pain that they have experienced growing up. That is, but that's really separate from you, and mm-hmm. that you're wanting to have relationship with them, and it's going to take time because you didn't have the years with them, right? And so, well, I guess you had it since you were 12, but that your personalities are different. You've grown up in a different environment, right? And sometimes we have to make people aware that it isn't personal about them, that we have
to ask
for some understanding.
Yeah, Jill, I was also thinking about some phrases when people are accusatory, because obviously you felt attacked, is, you know, what are some things that we can say to people when they misjudge us or they, you know, because this is a they problem. This isn't, you know, you haven't done anything. But what do we say in those circumstances to help people kind of back up a little bit?
Sometimes we can say, if that's how you are experiencing things or experiencing me, I can see how that would be hurtful. And I'm so sorry for that. However, that isn't where my heart is at or my intentions. And I'm happy to share with you where I'm coming from if you'd like to hear.
I love that. Alice, how about you? Do you have a phrase or something that B could say to kind of reconnect in those situations?
Can I just say something really quick?
Sure.
I've tried that, but now it's causing me to have anxiety when I come around them. I'm really scared. Mm. I feel like I've shown enough love, and it might be time to kind of cut those relations.
Okay.
It causes me anxiety to be around them because the behavior is still there.
All right. Well, that's a different perspective. You can hear the music, B. We're going to take a break. We'll come back, and Alice, maybe you can give her a redirect, because there are times when we have to detach from family, and it doesn't have to be a reaction. It can just be a decision that this may not be the best relationship for me in the way that it has always been, and that can take some work. We'll be right back after this.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible Personal Size, the one-year Life Recovery Prayer Devotional, the New Life Journal, a New Life Pen and Highlighter, and a New Life Zipper Tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We are so glad you're with us on this second day of 2023. And Alice, can you help me with this next kind of step that may be needed to be taken?
Well, B, as a fellow introvert and a conflict avoider, I can sure relate to the desire to withdraw. And there is a biblical basis for doing so when there's a pattern of unrepentant, harmful behavior coming from another person who has little to no desire to do anything about it. So we do need to protect our hearts. But God also nudges us introverts that we are to live at peace as much as it depends on us. And so that can entail wondering, how has my introverted behavior perhaps hurt my siblings, even though that was not my intention? And am I willing to risk asking, would you tell me, what have I done? What have I said that has led you to believe I think I'm better than the rest of you? It's a very risky question to ask, being, and we have to approach it with humility and with curiosity, knowing that I'm imperfect. Of course I've hurt people, sometimes intentionally, but oftentimes unintentionally by my behavior. And so that's a good but tough question to ask.
Well, and can I just say that can be disarming, Alice, because when people make comments, it's usually these side comments, right? It's those things that just pop out as resentments. But if you ask them straight on, head on, right, then you're really asking them to give you some honest feedback, and you're being humble about it. That puts them in a different position, right? They don't get to just jab at you.
And it can actually feel like a powerful question to ask, B, because we're the one introducing the conversation. And so we have a level of control that I'm asking it at a time that I feel strong enough to do so. I've prayed myself up for this, and I probably have a couple safe people I'll check in with before and afterwards, because it's going to be a tough conversation. When I do this, sometimes, B, I bring up an example or two that I know has affected other people in the past. So I might say, I'm really quiet, I don't respond to texts very quickly, and I know that rubs people wrong. So maybe I've done some of those things to you that left you feeling like I was at a distance or I thought I was better than you. Would you tell me about it?
I love
that. And I think in not doing something like this, B, your anxiety is going to get greater, right? Because we build up in our minds the discomfort. And so then even the thought of engaging with them can cause anxiety, and that causes more withdrawal. Right? And the withdrawing, as you mentioned, Alice, does have an impact on others. People don't know what to do with that. And people who are more extroverted, they want somebody that's going to show up. They want to meet somebody, right? And have them be present. And so while it might feel comforting to be able to go sit in the corner, and it might feel safer at times, it's kind of a luxury. And I think that at times we need to build up that strength when we know we're going to be around and put on our best engaging self and be a part of things. Almost better to stay for a shorter period of time and show up than to disappear halfway through.
I love that. B, I hope something that they have said will be helpful. We're going to send you a copy of Take Your Life Back because I think that'll give you some steps in that direction. And it can be challenging to manage those relationships, but at the end of it, you can feel better as you go into those situations. Like you said, Jill, that you're gearing up for it, and you may not stay the whole time, but you know.
Show up, people back down. People are poking you to get you to engage with them because they need something on the other side. And
that's
so,
right.
So yeah, if you show up a little more, and I know that's really scary, and we don't want it to be traumatizing for you.
Right, right.
Right? So that's why you shore yourself up ahead of time.
And be as easily as I speak about these conversations, girl, I'm going to tell you, I had to practice those kind of role play conversations a whole lot of times in therapy before I took them to my family members and my loved ones, because those conversations terrified me also. I had to practice them.
I love it. I love it. Well, we're glad you called, Bea. And, you know, I hear a lot of tweeting and doorbells going off in the background.
That's because we've got to know what's going on with all the
Larry is in the room.
The star has arrived with fanfare.
We just had to make a big...
I had to make myself known.
All of the bells and whistles. I see you. You are seen. We are here. Happy 35th anniversary.
Yeah. Thank you so much. You know, before I get into that, I wanted to just play off of Jill's comment about people are poking you. Because I have been poking people, calling them, asking for a year in gift. And I've told them I'm doing what Mark Twain taught me. He said you don't know how far a frog is going to jump until you poke it. And so I'm out poking frogs to see how much they might be willing to give. But thank you. No, thanks, Becky. 35 years. Last November, we entered our 35th year here at New Life. And we're planning some ways to celebrate that. And hopefully, during the year, you'll hear about that and you'll celebrate with us. One of the things we're going to do in this 35th year is to raise the minimum amount of the monthly gift for Club New Life members to 35 years. It's been
$35.
$35, yes. It's been $30 since 2007.
Huh.
Now,
what
else has remained the same for 22 years?
Nothing. Nothing.
No, 26 years. So I haven't been able to think of it. But if you're currently a Club New Life member, we'll ask you to raise to $35. But if that's a hardship or you're just not willing for whatever reason, we're going to grandfather you in. You can stay at $30. We're going to be gracious about this, at least for a season or two.
It's a request, right?
Yes, it's a request.
Yes.
Right. But one of the things we want to entice you with is we're going to do some Club New Life gatherings. Once a month, we will do a Club New Life gathering on Zoom. And the first one's going to be on the 12th of January, just a couple of weeks away. You'll get a Zoom invitation if you want to be invited. We'll send out correspondence. Let us know you want to come. We'll send you a Zoom invitation, and you can join us. And Steve will present some thoughts about who knows what with Steve.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see.
It's a surprise.
Yeah.
And Larry, it's only 10 days away. Today's the second.
Oh, my gosh, you're right.
So I hope the invitations are ready to go out.
Oh, well, they are. They are, because we don't have to know what Steve's going to talk about to make the invitation. We'll have fun with it. And we want to hear from you. We want you to ask questions. We want you to tell us what about New Life has been impacting in your life. So I hope you'll join us for that. But if you're not a part of Club New Life member, still time to get in on this first Zoom gathering that we're going to be having. So give us a call. You can join. You can join. I think you can join Club New Life still online.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be $35 a month, and we hope you'll take us up on that. I also wanted to say thank you for all of you who have been Club New Life members. And we've looked back, and we've discovered some folks who have been on for many years. And we looked back to the start of Club New Life. We have 74 people who joined the first year, 2001.
Aww. Wow.
74 people. That's over, what did I say, 252 consecutive months of giving.
Wow.
And we will celebrate them and recognize them in some way this year.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for giving. You can give other ways. You can give regularly. Other than Club New Life, you can make a single gift. There's lots of ways to give, so we just hope you'll join us in that.
But that 21 years, right?
Yeah.
That adds up. So we totally appreciate
that.
It could be the easiest way for people to support, you know, because a lot of times we think, oh, I want to do that. I want to be part of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then we just forget. And so when you join Club New Life, it's an automatic withdrawal. And we, you know, it just supports everything that we do. And you're part of the family. We appreciate it so much. Thank you, Larry. And I know that we're also promoting Steve's newest book, Every Believer's Thought Life.
Right.
And we're so excited. It's our gift to you when you give in January. And so we want you to be part of the giving family. So give us a call. We're going to go back to the calls, and we are going to talk to Valerie. I was going to say we're talking to Larry, but we're going to talk to Valerie. And she is calling us from Novato, California, listens on KFAX. And Valerie, we're so glad you called today. How can we help you?
Thank you. So my brother lives in the Midwest. He came out for Christmas, and we had a friend of his since high school over for Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, which is usual. We noticed some, and I should say now we're all in our 60s. So we observed some behavior from the friend that we're wondering about if it's obsessive compulsive disorder, whether my brother should bring up with our friend that there's perhaps a problem, and not just say we think you have a problem, but make suggestions as to what he might do with it.
Okay. Well, you can hear the music, Valerie. We're going to take a break, and we're going to come back with your question and with your details, because we got a little bit of it, but we want to get more information. You know, the holidays always bring up these relationship issues where we notice things because we're not around people all the time. And then we get together for these gatherings and we go, hey, I never noticed that before. Or, ouch, that didn't feel so good. You know, so we want to help you with trying to understand those relationships. We're going to be back right after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We are talking with Valerie, who was talking about a friend that came to visit them. Now, Valerie, I think the gist of the question was, what should we do? But I want to hear more about what the details are.
So the behaviors I noticed is that at the table setting, he would move his knife and fork and spoon slightly and even pat it. I've never seen that before. He would take his fork and mash the potatoes more and the green bean casserole, which I've seen him do before, but it was even more noticeable. On a walk, we'd pass where he parked the car and there were leaves on it, and he said, oh, the tree has had their its way with my car, and he'd very carefully take the leaves off of the top of his car. So read signs at a recreational area, that each sign as it comes along, and the signs are all basically the same. So anyway, we were just wondering, should we say anything, or mainly my brother? And I don't know if he's going to have a chance to say anything face-to-face before he goes back to the Midwest. Mm-hmm.
Valerie, are there additional things going on in your friend's life where you have information about how this is causing him problems in relationships or in work?
He doesn't work full-time, no. I would not know if he notices it or even finds it problematic.
And how close would you say these relationships are that you and your brother have with him? Is it a one time a year, or is there a lot of contact in between?
It's maybe 1 to 2 times a year. Mm-hmm. During a one stay, my brother's going to see him with other people at one more time, and there might be a third time where he sees him 1 to 1.
And why are these examples, rather than noticing them as, oh, that's different, that's a little eccentric, versus this is concerning and I think we need to talk with him about it, what raises it to that level for you?
We've never noticed that before, and I believe we spent Christmas last year together, and so this was... It was something very, very noticeable to both of us.
Mm-hmm. And so again, wondering, you know, all behavior has meaning. So you are observing this, and having known him over time, something is increasing in his life, right? I think I would want to more check in with him about mm-hmm. his life, how he's feeling about his life. What's happening? Has anything new happened? How is it, does he feel satisfied in life? Behaviors like this can get more noticeable or more extreme as people get older, as well as if the longer something goes undealt with, then these are compensating behaviors. He may have always been someone who's very perfectionistic, but now it's showing up in more OCD behavior, obsessive compulsive behavior. And certainly there are treatments for that, there are medications for that, but you want to find out emotionally what's happening or not happening for him. And so I think your brother, as a caring friend, could try to go a little bit deeper with him in terms of connecting and finding out how he's really doing.
Yeah, and, you know, one of the ways I'm thinking, too, Valerie, is if you just say, hey, you know, I noticed on this trip that you were really observant of those signs mm-hmm. on our way to the park. Like, don't come at it from a pathological, right. You know, there's something wrong with you. But just, you know, I mean, just, you know, I noticed that you had some routines that I didn't notice before. Are you aware that you do that? Or, you know, just in mm-hmm. that curiosity, in that conversation. And it's interesting, too, Val, that you mentioned your ages. And what you said too, Jill, about, you know, there are things that change biologically. There can be some things that may be concerning, but I do think that the best way forward is just to open the conversation up, right? You know, where you're just curious and you're noticing. And did you say, Valerie, that he's still with your brother? Like, there's still some days left in the visit?
Yeah. So there will some of it's open ended. But so I don't know whether they'll really get together one-on-one. There's a group meeting, but...
But maybe your brother could be a little more intentional. Maybe he could say, hey, let's go for coffee. Or, you know, I feel like I didn't get enough talking time with you.
There you go. There you go. There you go. Alice, do you have anything else?
Valerie, do you just have a guess at whether or not your friend would be receptive to a loving concern brought to his attention?
I don't, we've never really talked on that kind of level, so I think that might be a little difficult for both my brother to open up and our friend to hear.
So I would emphasize the love and the care that you have for him. And I'd also caution your brother to be quick to back off, to kind of feel out the temperature of how your friend is receiving it or not. The Bible certainly supports us bringing truth to one another. It's actually an obligation that we have. And it's a gift to give. But it's not always a gift received joyfully, because we can all be defensive and get prickly when our oddities, our eccentricities are pointed out to us. But we're asked biblically and as Christians to point it out gently, lovingly, balancing that truth and grace in order to help one another to see the blind spots that we have, especially if there is a deeper concern. So it's loving to make the attempt. Just be prepared that it might not be received well, but it's still a loving, friendly gesture to make.
Right. Jill, you have anything else?
Well, just to see that he has a level of anxiety, and you don't know what that's about, right? And so that's why the leaning in a little bit more and just having real concern for him and his life in a loving way. That's just about inviting and opening up, and you don't have to talk about everything on this trip. Right? You're inviting him into a deeper relationship that hopefully will continue over time.
Well, and one question that we didn't ask you, Valerie, was, is he married? Is he in relationship back at home? Or is he single and on his own most of the time?
He's single. He has a housemate to help defray costs. He's active in sports.
Okay.
Or at least one sport.
Okay. All right. Well, the reason why I asked that is because that's, again, that community, you know, it's really helpful for us to be in community, because we can have people who we trust reflect back to us what we're seeing. And, you know, to some of the different points, you know, whether it is a physical thing, whether it is an emotional thing, it's very helpful. And we would want somebody to tell us if they saw something in us that was peculiar or different from what they had remembered us being like before. And I think telling or speaking the truth in love, like what Alice is referring to, I do think that that's the way forward for this connection. You know, thank you so much, Valerie, for calling. And we're going to send you a one-year Bible for women just to encourage you and thank you on this path. You know, we're so grateful to begin this 35th year with New Life, and we are here for you. I know that I have learned so much over my years. It hasn't been all 35, but I've been listening probably since day one. Yes, it has, Jill. It has. But we're so grateful for all of you who are listening, and we look forward to seeing you sometime in the future, whether it's on a workshop or you call us. We want you to know we're here for you. Thank you, Alice. Thank you, Jill. Happy New Year, everybody. And take a step in the right direction today. And if we can help, please let us know. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.
Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.